Find your place in Psalm 48 if you'd stand with me for our memory verse. Psalm 48, verse 1 and 2 is our memory verse this morning. And it goes like this. If you know it now, sing with me, please. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. The city of the great King is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. The city of the great King. Let's try it again, please. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. In the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. The city of the great King is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. The city of the great King. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord, we thank You so much for the opportunity to come to You this morning. I pray that You would bless the reading of Your Word this morning. Dear Lord, I pray that You would speak through me. Allow me this morning, please, to be a vessel. I pray, dear Lord, that You would just use the words that are going to be spoken here today to allow Christ to get the honor and glory for it, and that the Holy Spirit would have free reign in our hearts to touch us and help us to understand what is being taught and apply it to our hearts and lives. We thank You for all that You do for us, dear Lord. We come to You this morning with a heavy heart with all the news that's abounding, dear Lord, but we know You're in control and how we, Lord, place everything in Your feet this morning as we come to You. I pray, dear Lord, You would help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Joshua chapter 20, please. Joshua chapter 20. We're looking at the study of the chosen people of God and really those that were specifically chosen to carry on the work of God in the Old Testament. And those were the tribe of Levi and the Levites. So we're looking at the descendants of Levi through this study. We have just a couple more weeks left. We are leaving Moses behind now and moving on into some of the other Levites. And we have seen in the past weeks how God has truly blessed this tribe. Even with the difficult and the disastrous start of the life of Levi, how God blessed them and gave them second chances and how God used them in a mighty way. And as we came last week and we looked at the inheritance of all the tribes, we come today to really the specific inheritance of the Levites. We saw last week they were given 48 cities amongst the tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel had to give a portion of their inheritance to the Levites. And those were 42 cities surrounding the country, and then 6 cities specifically were given to them for cities of refuge. And today I want to share with you and look at the scriptures this morning with you at these cities of refuge. So we begin here in Joshua chapter 20 and verse 1. And the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwilling may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him to the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return, and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, and unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kedesh and Galilee and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem and Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah, And on the other side, Jordan, by Jericho, eastward, they assigned Bezer and the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben. And Ramoth and Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. Hold your place there now and go with me to Deuteronomy, back a book here, in your Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 19. Just a few verses here in Deuteronomy 19. Moses is here speaking for God and talking to the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy 19, verse 1, "When the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their cities and their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way, and divide the coast of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. And this is the cause of the slayer, which shall flee thither, that he may live, whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hateth not in time past. As when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve, and lighteth upon his neighbor that he die, he shall flee into one of those cities and live. Lest the avenger of the blood pursueth the slayer while his heart is hot, and overtake him, because the way is long, and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in time past. Wherefore I command thee, saying, Thou shalt separate three cities for thee, and if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, and to walk ever in his ways, then thou shalt add three cities more for thee besides these three, that innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee." The land of Canaan has been under conquest by Joshua and his army as they've been moving through the strongholds of the country. You know, Jericho was first, and then they went to Ai, and it started through this campaign around the country, taking these strongholds and defeating these major tribes that were in the promised land. But at this time, in Joshua chapter 20, most of the major battles have been completed. The inheritance has been given, as we saw last week. And now it's the duties of the tribes to go out and finish conquering those that are in their land and take the possession of their inheritance. But before they go out and do this and take their land, they were reminded of a promise God gave through Moses to the children of Israel here in Deuteronomy, telling them that they are to give these specific cities, choice cities, to the Levites. So the inheritance is given to the Levites here in Joshua 20. It's also recorded in Deuteronomy 19, where we read, and Numbers 35. And it talks about this inheritance. 42 cities were just places where the Levites were to live, and then six cities separated, so 48 in total, six cities of refuge. So there's lots of work still to be done by Joshua and the tribes of Israel through their own inheritance, but this inheritance was given out to the Levites first. And these six cities that were known as cities of refuge, these are the cities made available to anyone who killed another person by accident. Not anything that was planned or premeditated. We saw an example in Deuteronomy. Two men go out into the woods to chop down a tree. He takes a stroke with his axe, and the axe head flies off of the axe handle, and it strikes the man and he dies. That was not premeditated. That was an accident. So that man can flee now to the city of refuge to be safe, to present his case, as we'll see here. These cities were set apart for safety and help of those that were innocent. It is these cities of refuge that we'd like to talk about today and share with you some of the things that are going on in these cities. They paint for us, though, a very clear picture, and you will see that as we start this morning. They paint a very clear picture of our salvation through Christ. Allow me, please, to share you some serious several truths this morning through these cities of refuge. Notice back in Joshua chapter 20 in the first three verses, the purpose of these cities. In verses 1 through 3, it says, "The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood." These purpose, first off, of the cities of refuge, the purpose was to serve as a refuge. These cities were to be set up to protect the person who had accidentally taken the life of another person. The law, in this day, the law demanded, as you know, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. The law demanded for every crime to be dealt with swiftly in accordance with the nature of that occurrence or of offense. So, for example, if a person stole something, they were to make retribution, a restoration. And that's in Exodus chapter 22. If a person premeditated a murder, their life was forfeited. They were to be killed. The punishments were always designed to fit the crime. And here we are in a nation today that has taken the Ten Commandments out of the courts in which our laws were based on. If the crime happened to take the life of another human being, the nearest kinsman to the deceased, the nearest relative to the deceased of the slain person had the right to avenge the death of that one that was slain. It's found in Numbers 35, verse 19 through 21. So he's called the avenger of blood. He is the nearest relative that one that was killed, and he has the right to kill the one that had killed his relative. However, there is a difference taught to us in Numbers 35. You have to go back and read the whole chapter. We don't have time this morning. But Numbers 35 explains the difference between murder and manslaughter, between premeditated murder and an accidental death. And God gave a way out for that person that was guilty of accidentally killing his friend or neighbor or coworker or what have you. God gave them a way out. And it's a city of refuge. But that person had to get to the city of refuge to be safe. Therefore, when a man accidentally taken the life of another, he could flee to one of these six cities. Three are on the eastern side of the Jordan River, three are on the western side of the Jordan River. It was if he, as he arrived in these cities, it was determined if the death had been accidental or if it had been murder. If it had been determined that it was murder, he'd been given up to the avenger of blood and he would have been killed. If he presents his case to the elders and they understand that it was accidental death, he is safe in the city. As long as he stays in the city of refuge, he is safe. And if he steps foot outside that wall, he's free rein to the avenger of blood. But as long as he is inside that city of refuge, he is safe. No harm can come to him. They give him a place to live. He stays there and he is abide to stay there until the high priest dies. Whoever has been anointed by the oil of God and is the high priest of the land, when the high priest dies, if it's that same day that he comes into the city or 50 years later or however many days or years it is, when that high priest dies, that innocent person is allowed to go back home. And there can be no harm come to him. He's been forgiven. These cities of refuge, they were, though, not only a refuge, they were to serve as a reminder. For our sakes, these cities serve to point out a certain fact about the salvation we enjoy in Lord Jesus Christ. Just as these places where a man could flee in time of desperate need, so Jesus is a place we can flee. Look with me, hold your place here and go to Psalms 46. Psalms Psalm 46, the first verse says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge. These cities of refuge point out as a reminder to us of that time when we needed Christ. We were being chased by the avenger of blood in our own lives, by the devil himself. We can flee to Christ. He is our refuge. We are all being pursued by the avenger of blood. All mankind is being pursued by this avenger of blood. He wants to see them die. He wants to see them go to hell. That is his purpose in life, is to bring as many as he can with him to hell. The end of our flight of mankind is death, spiritual death or eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. What we owe or earn for our sin is death. And the avenger of blood does not want us to hear the gospel. The avenger of blood does not want us to hear anything about the Word of God or about Jesus. He's trying to distort the Word of God today. He's trying to distort the name of Jesus Christ today so that he can bring us down to hell with him. We as mankind need a refuge. We need a place where we can run and find safety. We need a place where the avenger of blood cannot touch us. That place is in Jesus. It says in Psalm 46:1 and other places I'll show you this morning, God is our refuge. Those poor children, God was their refuge. He swept them right up to heaven. Lord, help the man that took their lives. Notice what these cities teach us, though, about Christ. There was a provision for these cities. Again, Joshua 20, verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, the provision of these cities, this was not Moses' plan. As hard as Moses could have thought, as wise as Moses was, this was not Moses' plan. This was not Joshua's plan. This was not the Levites' plan. Whose plan was it? The Lord also spake unto Joshua. He's already spoke to Moses in Numbers 35 and Deuteronomy 19. God is speaking to Moses and to Joshua and saying, this is my plan. This is my provision for the innocent. They were provided by God. These cities of refuge were provided by God. Man did not come up with these ideas of these cities. These cities were God's idea. It was his plan from the very beginning. He wanted to teach his people that murderers had to pay for their crimes, but he also wanted to teach his people there was a place of mercy for those who were innocent. Salvation through the shed blood of Christ was also God's idea. We could see that through John 3:16. These cities of refuge were providing a place, though, of grace. God could have allowed the manslayer to die like any person that had taken another life. He could have not provided a way out for that manslayer, for that innocent person that accidentally killed another human being. He could have said, well, he took a life, he has to forfeit his life. However, in his grace, he made a way that those accidentally taken a life of another might find refuge in these cities. That's by his grace. He didn't have to do that. By the same manner, God could have allowed sinners, which we all are, all mankind are sinners. We are born with sin in our lives. He could have not provided a way out for sinners. But that's not God's nature. So God provided a way for sinners to have grace. And he does that through forgiveness, through the work, the finished work of Christ on the cross. Only by Christ on the cross can you give forgiveness from God. We can't pay enough to a church. We can't light enough candles in a church. We can't say enough prayers to God in the church, we can't do anything that does any kind of work to get us forgiveness from God. It is all by grace. And is all by the finished work of Christ. Christ hung on the cross to take upon Himself the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. Think in your mind's eye right now with Christ hanging on the cross, and it becomes dark, and God has to turn His back on His only Son. He has to do that because of every sin you and I have ever committed and ever will commit. Every sin mankind has ever done or ever will do, Christ had them placed upon Himself on the cross. That's grace. He didn't have to do that. He could have stayed in heaven. He could have enjoyed the fellowship of the God and never had to humble Himself as a babe in a manger. He didn't have to do that. He was willing because He loved us that much. The grace of God. Through the finished work of Christ on the cross, we have extended to us God's grace. Through the building of these cities and the formation of these cities and the laws that have been governing these cities of refuge, God was providing grace and mercy to these innocent people. They just had to get there. Once they were inside the city and declared their innocence to the elders, and it was agreed that they were innocent, they were secure, they were safe. All we have to do is come to the cross and ask Christ to forgive us. All we have to do is bow our heads and ask Him to forgive us for those sins, and we will have extended to us God's grace. Let's look in verse 4 through 6, the power of these cities. And when he had doth flee unto one of those cities, shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city. They shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest. That shall be in those days. Then shall their slayer return and come into his own city and into his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. Verse 9. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourned among them, that whosoever killeth any person unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. These cities, once the slayer got to these cities and he presented his case to the elders, these cities had the power to save his life. When the manslayer arrived in the city, his case was heard by the elders, and it was determined that this death was indeed an accident. He was given a place to live in the city and was protected from the avenger of blood. They could not turn him over to this avenger of blood. The city of refuge allowed a man to live who would have otherwise surely have died. Jesus Christ is the only one who can guarantee salvation to mankind. Only one. I'm sorry, but I'm a fundamentalist. I'm a Bible believer. I believe what the Word of God teaches, not what the world and mankind teaches. We can build any kind of religion we want as mankind, and we have. You can see that surrounding us throughout the world today, religion upon religion upon religion. But it's either by faith in Jesus Christ or it's by works of self. Works by self will never get you forgiveness by God. It will never get you the grace of God. It will never have extended to you the mercy of God. Only by Jesus Christ will you find forgiveness. Only by the work of Jesus Christ. He is the one that has power to save. Because He gave His life. The power of these cities. They have the power to save, but they also have the power to secure. As long as a person stayed within the city walls of the city of refuge that he's made it to, as long as he made it into this city and he stayed in the city, he was safe. He could not be harmed. He could live there as long as he wanted. He could live his whole life out there if he wanted to. But the day the high priest died, that was anointed by the hand of God and the will of God, and was presiding when that man entered that city, when that high priest died, he was a free man. He could go back home to his own city, to his own home, to his own family, and not be afraid of the avenger of blood outside the city gates. He was secure. When we commit our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, we are eternally secure. We cannot lose our salvation. That is one doctrine I cannot believe. If I had ever been taught that, I'd have to say, what? I can lose my salvation that God has given me? He can't lie. How can he just be an Indian giver? He can't. That's against the nature of God. Once we are placed in the palm of God's hand, we cannot be taken out of it, and we can't leave it ourselves. We can try to jump out of it all we want. We can't lose our salvation. We are eternally secure. Unlike this person in the city of refuge, we cannot leave our relationship with God. Not only in the power of these cities do they have the power to save and the power to secure, they have the power that they have is all sufficient. These cities of refuge would work for all those who fled to them. The sufficient met the need. And it wasn't just for the Jew. If you notice back, I believe it's in verse 9 here, it says, and for the stranger, these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourned among them. It's not just for the Jew, it's for the Gentile as well. Whoever took an innocent, a life innocently and accidentally, he could flee to these cities and be secure and safe. The power of these cities was sufficient to cover them. Jesus, though, he is sufficient for all. No matter the depths of our sin, no matter the depths of our depravity, no matter our greatest need, he is sufficient. He has all sufficiency to meet every need we have. Regardless of our need, he is sufficient. Look with me in verse 7 and the position of these cities. And they appointed Kedesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali and Shechem and Mount Ephraim and Kirjath Arba, which is in Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side, Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourned with them. The position of these cities, they were available to all. God provided 6 cities of refuge for these people. There were 3 on the eastern side of the Jordan with the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh. And then in the promised land, there were also 3 cities of refuge. They were so placed that no tribe was not very far from a city of refuge. You're like, well, that's a coincidence. No, that's God's plan. They were so situated, and these cities were so situated, that no tribe had very far to go to get to one of these cities. They were available to everyone, no matter where they were or who they were. Jesus is available for all. What does it say in our Bibles in John 3:16? For whosoever. That's everybody. I was taught coming up when I was learning how to witness to someone and you're taking them through the Bible. You say, you place your name there, young sir or ma'am or child. Place your name there. Whosoever. It goes for anyone. God had a plan for all mankind. His provisions and positions are for everyone. They were not only available to all, they were accessible to all. Just as these cities were spaced over all the country, They were available to every person, Israelite or Gentile, but they were prominent places. They were built up on the top of a hill, or they were built in the middle of the plains so that you could see them from miles away. They were also prepared. They were certain preparations that the Levites, remember, we're talking about the descendants of Levi. There were certain preparations that the Levites had to do. These were cities of the Levites. They managed these cities. They ran these cities. And here, they had certain preparations that they'd had to make for these cities. They were made in and around these cities that guaranteed that the manslayer, that he would find safety when he arrived. The roads were never blocked. We could see back in Deuteronomy 19, if we go there, the roads were never blocked. The Levites were to make sure the roads leading to the cities were always open and clear. The gates were never closed on these cities. They were always open. No matter what time, day or night, the gates were never closed. The direction was never uncertain. From Hebrew tradition, we learned that there were signposts pointing the way to these cities. There was a simple word in Hebrew on these signposts. And I'm sure I'm going to mess up the word, but it's something like this. It's miklat, M-I-K-L-A-T. It is a Hebrew word, and that's simply all that was put on these signposts, and it pointed the way to the city of refuge. And this word simply means refuge or to the refuge. It's pointing the way to the city of refuge. The way was always clear. The Levites were to maintain these signs continually. There's a lesson here for us. The lesson here for us is for those that have placed their trust in Christ, for those who have a saving knowledge of Christ, those of us who know the refuge of where to go, we are to go out into the highways and hedges. We are to set up signs pointing the way to Christ. You see, there is no doubt about where we stand, is there? Do we know what we believe? If we do, then we need to be pointing the way to Jesus at all times. Through our life, through our words, through our actions, through our testimony. That is why we always need to have a clear word and a clear message. Everything we do should point men to the Savior. Look with me in 1 Peter. We'll close here in two more verses. 1 Peter chapter 3. A very familiar portion of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We have a hope of eternal life. We have a promise of eternal life. Mankind that does not know Christ does not have that hope. We must be prepared and ready at all times to give an answer for the hope that is within us. Look over in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look with me in verse 1. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. We are not under condemnation anymore. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once you have come to the city of refuge of Christ, you are no longer under condemnation. It's like you're within that city and you're safe and secure. Look with verse 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? The avenger of blood has no say-so over us anymore. He cannot accuse us anymore. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. The way to Jesus Christ and salvation is pictured through the cities of refuge. If we have accepted Christ as our Savior, we need to be pointing people to Christ, to that city of refuge, the city of refuge. These Levites are showing us as a type, as a picture a future of the salvation of mankind through Christ. They're pointing the way as we should be pointing the way. Once we come to Christ, we are no longer under condemnation. The avenger of blood cannot accuse us anymore. Lord, we thank you so much for this. How I'm sure I did not do it justice. But Lord, what a lesson there is to be taught here for us. How we have a responsibility, an obligation to tell others. All people have to do is get to the city in the Old Testament to be saved, secure. The need was all sufficient. In the New Testament, now under the age of grace, all mankind has to do is get to Christ. Bow their heads, humble their hearts, and confess their sin, and place their trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Help us to be witnesses for you. Help us to teach others about you. Help us as we strive to live for you. I pray that you bless our pastor in the next hour. Give him power. Give him strength, Lord. Allow him to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray and ask this.